Now, as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" And there were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise." May we go to Lord in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you, my Lord, again for this day and this opportunity to be gathered here in this house, Lord, to worship you, Lord, to acknowledge our need for you, Lord, not just for salvation, but for everything. And I pray, Lord, that as we are here, we, Lord, release ourselves over to doing exactly what you created us to do: worship you, give thanksgiving for your everything, your love, your forgiveness, your strength, Lord, your direction, your guidance, your answered prayer, even when there is no, seemingly no answer. Praying, Lord, that we will truly do that which you created us to do. Praying, Lord, that we will truly enter into that relationship with you upon seeing our need for you. Lord, I pray for the words this morning, and I pray that, Lord, you will receive all the honor and glory. It's in your Son's name we pray these things. Amen. I've titled my sermon this morning simply, "Which Cross Are You On?" Which cross are you on? Scripture tells us in numerous places that the wages of sin is death. We understand that through study and through God flat telling us that death is both a physical and a spiritual event. As you were here this morning, you laid witness to one who sat there and said they had lost an aunt, because we all face physical death. There's going to be a point in time in our lives when our time is done. Our ticket is punched. That's a good colloquialism that we like to use. Or however you want to finish it off. And we're facing it every day. Those aches and pains that you feel every time you go to put your feet on the ground every morning, They're there to remind you that your time here on the face of this earth is temporary. The aches and pains that you have after doing something that you know for a fact that you could have done just a few years ago, and now you're in pain for the following week, is there not only to remind you that you're stupid, okay, that's just me, but that you are a limited being here on the face of this earth. And while none of us have our expiration date tattooed or stamped on our forehead or on the soles of our feet, I'm here to sit there and burst your bubble. From the very moment you breach the womb and enter into this world, you are on your way to death. Some sooner, some later. But all of us will face that death. But most importantly, the second death that is being spoken of for the wages of our sin, it is that physical death, spiritual death. The death of being eternally separated from God. All of mankind, no matter where it is that you claim as home, whether it be South Sudan, whether your skin be red, whether it be yellow, whether you're Yankee, whether you're a rebel, whether you're Chinese, American, Canadian, or whatever, whether you're rich or poor, good health, bad health, it doesn't matter. All of us were specifically created to be in an eternal worshiping relationship with God. That is what you were born for. Does that mean you're going to be locked into a Southern Baptist church pew every moment of your life? Thank goodness, no. Because you're called to live a worshiping life in every aspect of your life. Home, singing God's praises. At work, working like you're working for God. Going out in town, representing God. Sharing Him with others. At church, continuing the worship is supposed to take place every moment of your life. Waking up every day, singing God's praises for allowing you to take that breath, to wake up, to put your feet on the ground. At the end of the day, thanking the Lord for allowing you to sit there and put your head on a pillow or on a bed or whatever it may be, even no matter how sore it is that you may be. And everything in between, singing God's praises for giving you the ability to do so. That is what you were created for. And if you do not fulfill that, then I'm here to sit there and burst your other bubble. You will spend eternity in hell and experience the second death, the spiritual death. But you have been shared this morning through music. You've not heard that first song, Amazing Grace, until you have heard a 5 and 6 year old sitting in the back seat of your vehicle crying out, "This is Amazing Grace," at the top of their lungs. Out of tune, out of key, but fully in love with Jesus as only a 5 and 6 year old can. Gosh, it's good. Or hearing the song, "I'll Rise Again," which honestly, forgive me for saying it this way, is a golden oldie. Because I can remember Lynn and Twyant. They were singing that song in Pearl Acres Missionary Baptist Church as I was a youth. And in case you haven't figured out, my days of youth have been several decades ago. But singing that song, oh gosh, I love it. Or the story here that is totally fiction. Because nowhere in Scripture does it tell you about Barabbas other than he was put up to be the sacrifice, dare I say, the offering between Christ or just to pacify man. But yet, the story is valid. Whether we know Barabbas accepted Christ or not, we don't know. But Christ died for him also. And he died for you. Which leads me back to the three crosses that I read about here in Scripture. Because you are going to be on one of two of those crosses. You can't be on the one in the middle. That is Christ's cross. That is the reason he came to this earth. He came specifically to purposely place himself upon that cross. The Jews didn't crucify him, contrary to what man has sat there and said for decades and eons. The Romans didn't crucify him. To be blunt, everybody in this church and everybody that has ever taken a breath of fresh air or filthy air, whatever city it is you may live in, every person that has sat there and breached the womb, they crucified the Christ due to their sins. But God stepped down from his throne, took upon him the flesh of man, walked this earth for 30-ish years to ultimately place himself upon that cross, to become your propitiation, your final sacrifice, your final payment for all of mankind's sin. Scripture tells us that the Christ, God in human flesh, could have sat there and called a band of angels, a legion of angels, to sit there and take him right off, done, over. And yet he didn't. Because as he was on that cross, he was thinking of you. He was thinking of you. He was thinking of me. He was thinking of every individual that would ever be born. Past, present, his time, future. In fact, Scripture tells us that he who knew no sin, the Christ, God himself, perfect in every way, became sin. We like to say he took upon him our sin, which is the truth, but he became sin. And he experienced both the physical death, because he was graveyard dead on that cross, I'm here to tell you that, but also the spiritual death, because he became sin. And on that cross, he, for the very first time in his being, because God has no beginning, no end, he was separated from his Father. Not because he was dead, but because he was sin. That's why we're separated from God. By our sin. But his gift on the cross allows us to be returned and be restored back home, because he became the blood sacrifice that was required. So you cannot be on that middle cross. But there are two crosses remaining. You've been told numerous times already this morning that there were two criminals that went to the cross with him. One on the right, one on the left. Scripture tells us that both of those criminals mocked him at first, just like all of creation. The scribes, the Pharisees, the ones he came to die for, sitting at the cross, trying to give him sour wine, trying to sit there and chide him. You say you can save others, now save yourself. You sat there and said you would destroy this temple in 3 days, rebuild it again. Come on, say the word. We know that you can do it. Ah, you're still there. You're a liar. You're just like the rest of them. And he continued the mocking, and soon the two criminals just joined right on in. But then an amazing thing happened. Hear the words again coming out of the book of Luke, in case you didn't know where it was I was reading from. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasted him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answered, rebuking him, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Both criminals were on the cross to receive penalties for their sin. Their sin against mankind. Their sin against humanity. The crucifixion of the cross was not something that the Romans did just as an everyday occurrence. You sat there and you stole a 5-cent piece of candy. You weren't automatically crucifying. No. Crucifixion was left for the enemies of the state, those that were against the empire, those that were against the Caesar, their God, their living God, those that sat there and had the audacity to sit there and lead rebellion. Barabbas, by the way. Those that sat there and became murderers. Again, we'll go back to Barabbas for a second. They were condemned to death. They were the favorite ones because they crucified him to serve as an example. This is what will happen if you live this lifestyle. They rejected the law, man's law, and even at the very beginning, God's law. One receive payment for his sin, physically killed on the cross. One receive payment for his true sin, continued rejection of God. He received that second death, that spiritual death. Eternal separation from God. Scripture sits there and tells and refers to it as the place where the worm doesn't die. A place of eternal damnation and fire. A place of eternal gnashing of teeth due to pain and agony. It's hard for us to truthfully understand that concept, especially in a society today that's so full of false pleasures, whether it be alcohol, drugs, pornography, money, power, fill in the blank. We can find fulfillment in every way possible. Even if you can't afford it, you can always seem to find it. But yet, it's in a place such that even a drop of water on the tip of your tongue would bring joy. The other criminal on the cross facing the very same death, the same sins, the same penalty, but I'm here to tell you a different ending. Because through it all, he saw that he was a sinner. He was due the penalty of the cross. He was due the death that the cross would bring. Because you did not come down from the cross unless you were dead. Whether it take you 2 hours, whether it take you 2 days, or if there was some way, shape, fashion, or form, it would take you 2 weeks. You were left there till you were dead. And oh, by the way, you didn't receive a burial. Your burial was just thrown on the back of the pile, back in the back, from all the others. But I'm here to sit there and tell you this morning that he also, while facing that spiritual death, found the answer and found the way back to where it is that he was created to be. And that was the Christ himself. He laid witness to the fact that the one that was on the cross right beside him was sinless. He wasn't on the cross because of his sins. He wasn't on the cross for anything that he had done wrong. He even proclaimed that in the very scripture that I've read to you twice so far. And I want you to note what he did to receive the gift of eternal life. It's called faith. He didn't have an opportunity to walk an aisle. He didn't have an opportunity to get baptized. He didn't have an opportunity to put his name on the rolls of some church or to break out a wallet and give all the money it is that he had. He didn't have the opportunity to sit there and knock on a door and ask 20 people a day to come to church. He didn't even have the opportunity to sit there and share Christ with another. The only opportunity that that man had was to, one, acknowledge that he was due the penalty that he was receiving, his sin, and two, his need for the Christ, and to repent. Hear the words that he said? Boy, this is a real rough one. It's a very deep theological, doctrinal thesis. But hear the words. Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Well, every word I just spoke is, in fact, truth. It is a very deep doctrinal thesis. It is very important, very significant words. But hear the simplicity to it. Lord, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. Acknowledging Christ for who and what he was. The propitiation for mankind, the Savior for mankind. Acknowledging what he was, a sinner, doomed to death, separated, soon to be separated from man, and separated from God. And acknowledging his need for that very Christ and called upon him. That simple. The Father sits there and tells us he was going to be there. As soon as he took his last breath, he entered into the kingdom with the Father, who was soon to take his last humanistic breath. But most importantly, upon receiving that forgiveness, 3 days later, which is why we're here today, 3 days later, Christ rose again. 3 days later, Christ destroyed the chains that death had on us. Oh, we're still going to face physical death. Sorry, I can't take it away from you. I don't care how many surgeries you have. I don't care how much plastic surgery you have. You can sit there and have so much plastic surgery, your face is so, you know, pulled all the way back, and you can sit there, and if you see it, you have a flap of skin this big, you know, because it's so tight. I don't care how often you do that or how titanium hips or whatever it is or, you know, I hate to burst your bubble. There's going to be a point in time in your life. Unless the Lord comes back today, which he does, he will, you're going to die. However, you come to have that personal relationship, your promised eternity, and his resurrection provides that. He takes away the penalty. He redeems you. He fulfills the price. And I promise you, if it's available for a sinner condemned on the cross, it's available to you today if you don't have it. He died for all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not just Ivor. Not just the United States of America. Not just the upper middle class, not just the white population, the upper middle class of America. I can sit there and keep adding more to it. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, again, no stipulations there, whosoever will believe in him, the Christ himself, will not perish, die, but have eternal life. Hallelujah. That's the story of Easter. That's the story of Christmas. That's the truth of the Christ. Sit there and take a look at all of the religions of man, all the gods that we, with the lowercase g, that we have developed and created. Tell me one who died for any of their followers to forgive them. I'll give you a few seconds. I'll give you the answer. There are none. Christ and the Christ alone, the one true God with a capital G. Now back to the question. Which cross are you on? Because you're going to be on one of the two. You can't be in the middle, as I've already shared. You're either going to be on the right or on the left. The cross with a criminal who continued to scoff and reject. It took his last breath rejecting the Christ. Again, he ended up in hell. Or on the other cross. Started off mocking. Yeah, we're all guilty of it, by the way. We all are. We don't want to admit to it, but we're all guilty of it. But we all came to a knowledge of him in faith. We too will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But which one are you on? Rejection or faith? You're going to be on one. The wages of sin is death. You've already been condemned for your sins. Where are you going to end up? The choice is yours. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we come this morning being reminded again of the gift that is all about Easter. Lord, it's not eggs. It's not rabbits. It's not chocolate, whether they be Cadbury eggs, which are very good, or chocolate crosses, which are beautiful. But it's not what Easter's all about. Easter's about the fulfillment of your promises that you've made since the very beginning. You've stated since the beginning that due to our sin, we would be eternally separated. And that the perfect sacrifice was going to be required for the shedding of blood to wash us clean of our sins so we could be restored back to what it was we were created for. And Lord, you gave us the law to prove to us that we can't do it. It's impossible for us to do it. I mean, there's not a man, woman, child on the face of this earth that has not lied or stolen a piece of candy or committed, adultery in one way, shape, fashion, or form, or disobeyed mom and dad, or thought they wished the other be dead. It's impossible. But you knew that when you gave it to us. That's why even as you spoke us into creation with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, you already had plans in place to come in human flesh and become our propitiation. the perfect sacrifice and pay the price for our sins and make the gift available to all in such a way that it's so easy to do. And yet, Lord, we still argue with it and reject it so often. But Lord, as we celebrate Easter, we thank you for that gift and making it readily available to all of mankind, and know for a fact that there are men and women and children that have accepted it, and know that the gift is still available. Even 2,024 years after your birth, after your death, the gift is still available. All we have to do is step out in faith, not at our doing, but upon hearing your calling and knowing that you're calling all of mankind. In fact, your creation calls us to that relationship. Oh, Lord, we thank you for loving us so. Lord, I know there are those here today that have accepted that gift of eternal life, of salvation, of forgiveness of their sins. I pray today they continue in that lifestyle of worship and singing your praises daily. But I also know, Lord, that there are here, some here today that have never taken that step. I pray today will be the day that they hear you knocking at that door, that they hear that small voice calling, telling them that they're on the wrong cross, that they need to be on the other. They need to come to know the one that died in the middle to pay the price for their own sin, so that they too can be ushered into the kingdom with him. I pray today that they will hear that call and answer that call. We thank you, my Lord, for loving us so. Because, Lord, I know we don't deserve it. I know I don't deserve it. But I thank you for loving me and us so. It's in your Son's name we pray these things and all things. Amen.